We're going to get started again with our second sermon today, and I pray the Lord will bless. I was really touched by the selection of songs that we had this morning, and probably the one that really paid attention, or I paid the most attention to, was Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And I don't know if you ever noticed that, but there are so many hymns in our hymn books that were written by a blind lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. And, you know, many times one of the things that people put in, you know, that somewhere in her song, she will always talk about her vision. And I don't know if you know this, but in the third stanza, in the latter part of that stanza, it says, clearer than ever I see. And what was amazing was that when you take a look at the story of Jesus, even Fanny Crosby, you know, and if you go back in and look at her life, it was really a mess. Because the reality is that a doctor had messed up her eyesight. You know, she didn't have anything that much wrong with her, but the malpractice that would have happened if she'd lived in today's society would have been probably phenomenal. But instead, her eyes were taken from her, but her love of God grew within her. So this morning, I want us to take the message, and I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I have an order of things that I like to preach on. This morning, I took a little bit of a divergence as we finished up our study on the millennial reign, getting that into a little bit of detail. But I also want us to look at a little bit difference in the, instead of going into the Psalms chapter 119, I was impressed that we need to study about love. Now, love is something, and I've thought about this, and I was talking to a friend of mine about it. I said, you know, it's sad, but a lot of times when we get into love, instead of us really diving into the principles of love, we also get into this mechanical aspect of love. One of the things I tell people is that if you want to be romantic, you don't want to use the German language. To say, I love you in German is Ich liebe Sie. That doesn't sound romantic. I mean, you have that guttural sound that just literally just retches out there like you have a frog in your throat or whatever. Ich liebe Sie. And that's the way the Germans would say, I love you. But the truth of the matter is, when we get to a place to where we understand love, it really pours out from our hearts, and it is a very special pouring out. Learning love, and I want you to get this, is not going around the mechanics of love. I've had so many preachers that they want to get into agape love, or they want to get into filial love, or they want to get into amorous love that we see all throughout Scripture. And yet, in many ways, the aspect of love is shown more than it is applied by words alone. Now, I want you to look at what it says, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write about love in chapter 13, and let's begin at verse 1. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and thought, and have all faith and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. Whether there will be none, it shall vanish away. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank thank you today for the opportunity to once again to stand before those that are tuning in, whether by camera or whatever, and those that are in attendance, that they might hear the Word of God and the message that you have laid upon my heart to present. I want to thank you for the faithfulness, Lord, of every member that is here. I also want to thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of your word. And I pray that even now the Holy Spirit may take this message, carry it where it needs to go, and that you will bless and direct. Again, thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your truth. And may we follow in all the examples that you've given us. In Christ we pray, and amen. I want to preach on love today because, you know, the reality of love is that it has an emotional property. Now, I want you to get this just for a moment. And again, I'm speaking from what I study about characters in the Bible. When I think of the Apostle Paul, I think of him as a driver, someone who needs to get things done. He really wants to get out there and get that voice mentioned. And so we find that tirelessness, that strength that is there of character, and that the message is going to go forward. On the other hand, I see another person that is called the Beloved, which is John the Apostle. And when you look at him, he is referred to as not only the one that laid his head upon Jesus' breast, but he speaks of love in a very magnanimous, very personal, very caring way. If you will, hold your place here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's go to 1 John, and I want us to go to chapter 4. Now, I want you to get this. John understands love, and his word of melody, his words of talking about love, is really an amazing aspect. Now, I want you to go down, if you will, to verse 7, and notice what he says as he begins there. Beloved, let us love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love. Now, I'll give you a little bit of an example of what I'm talking about. Love is an area to where we don't really understand it. I mean, we are like a great pendulum. We either are on one swing or on the other. I either want to know all the technical about love and how that all goes in, or I want to know all the emotions. Now, the reality is, when I speak of emotions, I get into the amorous part of love, that feeling part of love. But I want to give you the example of love as I understand it best. And men, I think this will be a help to every one of us. Remember, first of all, that the Apostle Paul admonishes us men. It says, and men, see that you love your wives. Now, why is it that we have to be reminded to love men are hunter-gatherers? And I've used, the moment that this example was laid upon my heart, I've used it so many times. Now, I want you to know that when I think of love, I think of a man and a woman's relationship and everything that goes within it. But if I don't really... The example I used is called the deer head. And reality is that when we go out, we go hunting. I mean, there is just that wonderful aspect. I mean, I have never gotten a trophy buck. I've never had one that's had this massive rack or anything else. I just haven't been able to do it. I've been on hunts where we've had those things happen and we've been able to gather those deer in. But the reality is having that deer head is something to behold. I remember many years ago that when I pastored in California, that one of the men of the church, he had this beautiful muley deer rack on his wall. And I went in and I was looking at that and went, that is a beautiful deer head. And immediately he sparked up and he told me, all... And I looked up shivering, And I grabbed my gun, and we began to go out and wait for that deer to see if it was going to approach or whatever. And he said, and I came over this rise, and there was this deer, and I shot it, and we tracked it down. I mean, he told me every little detail. But I also noticed there was a lot of dust on that deer. Reality is he'd gotten his deer, but then it lost its luster. But every now and then, somebody would go in and make the comment how beautiful that deer was, and he immediately paid attention, and he wanted everybody to know about that deer hunt. Well, now think about this on our wives. You know, the first time that we walk in arm with the beautiful bride that we're getting ready to marry or someone that we really care about, we are just there and we think that she is just the prettiest thing under the sun. And we want all... Maybe she didn't put the makeup on she did when she was younger. Now, you two behave. All right. Maybe she doesn't have all the beauty that we expected. You know, age does different things to us. We don't like to think of ourselves, men, as falling apart. We only like to think about our wives falling apart. And the reality is that we get to that place. Kids. Doesn't matter that she's had all these other little issues that have gone on in her life. We just really want to complain about who she is or what she's done in her life. But the reality is, because the emotional aspect, for us to win the bride, we have to know who she is. We spend, think about this. If I'm going to go deer hunting, I literally spend as much time as I can to understand the wily ways of a deer. And if I want to get the bride that I'm seeking after, and I love what Mark Gunthorpe said, getting her to pay attention to you in the first place is the big trick. I will literally examine her and study her with everything that is in me. I want to know what she likes. I want to know what she dislikes. I want to know what food she wants. I want to know what places she wants to go. Or does she want to be a homebody? If this is the woman that I want, I want to be everything. Because that's what winning is. Reality is, God... Chapter 13, once again, I believe that this was the time frame in which we find that the upper room experience had occurred. This was right on the Lord's Supper period, but let's also look at this. Go down to verse 23, if you will. And notice he said, now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's right in down again. Look at verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Don't say, well, that's figurative. That is literally a literal explanation. We think of everything in American culture. And the reality is that American culture is not European culture. It's not African culture. It's not other areas that I've been in. In Germany, if you're sitting down and your hand is on, beside you like this, and another man comes over and places his hand on top of yours, it's not that he's trying to get fresh. It is a sign of friendship. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. In Germany, if a man does not... And it goes back to the time of chivalry, where men would go in and they made sure that everything was safe, and they would come back out and get their bride. That's how where that all came from. By the other token is you never bring a woman in Germany a red rose. That's a proposal. Even flowers have a meaning. But the reality is that if I want to know something about someone, I need to know
who they are. John laid his head upon Jesus' breast. He showed love.
Anyone ever taken the five love languages test? It really talks about how we love and what we enjoy about love. This may surprise you, but I like personal touch. I'm not talking sexual touch. I'm talking personal touch. Anyone ever been hugged? And that's the end of the hug. We sign that, and that's, believe it or not, that's a purely American thing. I'm done with you. Get away from me. But the real embrace of love, and we embrace each other, it's not a pretense. It's that when there is, but think about this. John, this world. Once again, and this was made. When John Lybrook was preaching. And the more that I heard what was going on, I've learned from this life. Probably one of the most difficult things I've ever been was the death of my own dad. Because my dad was the epitome of
He was the example of spiritual man, where redemption.
But I remember that when he had his stroke, I was getting ready to preach on a Sunday morning in 1998, January the 4th, 1998, I think was the date. And I get the phone call, if you want to see your dad, you better hurry here. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. I told the church, they said, Brother Prater, you just get in the car and you go. And I rushed all the way up to St. Mary's here in Huntington. And I went into the ICU where Dad was at. And I said, Dad, I'm here. And I never heard my dad speak. But he would literally make a face and start crying. I asked a nurse about that, and they said, that's a common reaction for someone who's had his kind of stroke. Because he so much wanted to go in. And I loved what Brother Liebrook also preached on. He goes, and all the saints that were singing, as Dad got ready to pass from this life, Dad always loved having us sing around him. And the worst rendition of Beulah Land you've ever heard in your life was all of us standing around singing to Dad. We used to love singing, and we harmonized so beautifully as a family. And we used to have someone play the piano, and we would sit down and we would just sing together. Mom with her beautiful alto, I would do bass. Greg and Dennis would do tenor and lead. And we would sing those beautiful songs. And I remember we tried to sing Beulah Land, and it was terrible because we were crying through tears. But then we sang Amazing Grace. And how sweet it was. Because we can manifest the love of God in this song that was there. The lamb before us was our father. And you know what's interesting? Many years later, we did the same thing with Mom. We stood around and we sang the message of Christ to Mom. And Mom loved to sing. She loved it. She didn't want to sing hillbilly songs. She wanted to sing the songs of Zion. And I remember as Dad passed from this life, my sister asked me, she said, do you think Dad hurt us? I said, I think he did. I'll ask him when we get to glory. Let me tell you something, folks. When we know the love of Christ in such a real way, we will live this Bible in a real way. We will live the relationship we have with each other in a real way. Romans chapter 5. And let's go down to verse 12. Look what it says. Sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do you realize that? Genesis, and I want to show you something. This may surprise you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 27. And when I read this, I was really surprised. I did a little bit of research this morning. Thank God for Strong's Concordance, because I wouldn't have done it on my own. But in Genesis chapter 27, I want us to go down, if you will, to verse 4. Now, man, you're going to love this. Look what it says. And make me say that's the first mention of love in the Bible, of the word love. Not the love between I love savory meat. Let me show you in the next one that's there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 29. The first example of love that we see in Genesis chapter 29. And let's go down to verse 20. And Jacob and look what it says. And Leah do you realize sexual love is not love at all? Unless it has been nurtured and developed before God. When you take someone, a man and a woman, one of the things that is such a craft is men will come to him, I trust him in order to help him to get what he wants from her. But true love is one that says, I love you as my sister. I love reading the Songs of Solomon. I really do. I enjoy the Songs of Solomon because they seem to embellish the love routine. Mark Gungor is one of the few preachers that I know of that will literally go to the Songs of Solomon and speak how wily and how beautiful the words are in that message. Matter of fact, there are so many times that I've thought about just holding a series on the Songs of Solomon so that men and women might enjoy the natural relationship of love that needs to be built up between them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But it seems like the only thing we know of, and we hear this so often, I get this, love is a struggle. How many of you have ever heard that? Love is painful. How many of you have ever heard that? Let me tell you something. Love is beautiful when it is in the glory of God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I wrote these down. I know we don't have time to go through all of them. But I want you to think about all the things that were given when it comes to the love of God. Now watch this. God made man and breathed into man's nostrils such that man became a living soul. That is love. How many of us have ever held our newborn child? I remember holding Jeremy for the first time. He was the ugliest baby. He was homely. And I looked at him and I said, I love you, son. I love you. And I held him close. I remember when I got to hold Tony for the first time. And I held him, even though he was my oldest. I looked at him and I thought how beautiful he was. And I said, I love you, son. How many of y'all remember, you know, where we had Kunta Kinte and he lifted up the baby? I literally lifted up Tony and said, Lord, thank you for my child. I remember when Timothy was born, and Timothy never cried. He just went, ooh, ha, ooh, ha.
And I said, this is my son. And I was convinced Joseph was going to be a little girl. But he's a little boy. And I pulled him close to me and I said, I love you, son. When Jesus breathed life into Adam and man became a living soul, he was holding his son and he said, I love you. We read in the Garden of Eden how that God had placed Adam in that garden and he said, I made this garden for you, my son. It's interesting. Men will go out of their way to try to please their mother. I never heard dad, my own dad, say, you did a good job on this, until many years later, and I rebuilt an old farmhouse, and he said, you did a fine job on this, Mike, and I about passed out. But I knew my dad loved me. We read of the observation that man needed a mate, and after creating her, united them together. In Genesis chapter 2, 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And how many times because mom and dad might even do wrong every now and then. But God's word will never lead you wrong. I had someone say, well, there's not an instruction manual. Have you ever read Proverbs? When man fell, it was the love of God that promised a Savior. And God looked at Eve and he said, thy seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, but he will bruise your heel. It was the love of God that kept the promise to Adam and that he preserved life through Noah. How many of us ever thought about that? And it was the love of God that called Abraham and kept him from hurting Isaac. So while the I just miss you. I love you. Tony's already said, next year, Dad, Lord's willing, I want you to come to Germany. I'm going to tell you a story. Years ago, when I lived in Germany, I invited my pastor, Brother Ken Busby, who was the pastor of Kesgrave Baptist Church in Kesgrave, England. I invited him to come over. And I'm so proud. And so I said, look, I'll drop you off with all your luggage, and then I'll go find a place and park the vehicle. See, my plan was to mosey back and watch Ken and family get on the boat, and I wouldn't have to say goodbye. I parked the van, rolled up the window, locked the door, got out of the bus, and there stood Ken. And I lost it. I lost it. And I threw my arms around him and said, a couple of years ago, Brother Ken Busby passed away in his 80s. I miss that man. But I shall see him again. Because he believed in the same Jesus Christ that I believe in and preach. And he is my encouragement. Not only that, but we see the special acknowledgement of the love of God. I could go on. But I want you to look at this. Let's go to John chapter 15. And I want to show you the greatness of the love of God as we see it from his word. In John chapter 15, they have left the upper room. If there's a chronological order, they have left the upper room. And chapter 14 and chapter 15 and chapter 16 is the final instruction that Jesus gives to the apostles. And in chapter 17 is, I believe, the actual prayer that he offered up in the garden. But in chapter 15, as he has his apostles in front of him, and we're talking about the 11, we go down to verse 13 and notice what he said. Well, let's go back to verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be that might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How many of you all have great joy in your heart? You know, let me just give you a practice. Before you complain, talk about the joy that should be in your heart. I guarantee you we won't complain. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love. You understand, Sister Reva, I love you. You understand, I love you, Raphael, and your wife, and I love you all so much, and that little girl of yours, she's special. And the two kids back there, Will and Gracie, I love them. Nancy, Randy, you know I love you. Joe, do you know I love you? And for anyone that's listening, my love should go beyond greatness. But let me ask you, how many times have we ever stopped loving somebody because they went astray? Should we not? Jesus says, I love you in spite of that, Mike. I love you. And I've already paid for your sin. Verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. I am a friend of Jesus Christ, because he laid down his life for me. That's love. And then there's love. No greater love the world has known, that a king would leave his throne and die for me. And then there's love. That's the greatness of our God. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. Guess what? Now listen. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I redeemed you. And I poured my love into you. We are the greatest loving vessels that should ever be upon this love. It is the love. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that I may He may give it. How many of us have ever asked God and then we stand amazed that he answered our prayers? We should not be amazed. We should be anticipating. These things I command you. Command. You know, so many times people say, there is no commandment. Wait a minute, here's a great one. Love one another. Love your wives. Love your children. Love your enemies. Let the love of Christ reign supreme in you. When we get to heaven, there will be no hatred. There will be tears. Why? Because we have forsaken our first love. Do you know the love of Christ? Do you know what it means to love? This morning you may question, you said, Brother Prater, I may not know all about love, but I'd like to know more. Here's the thing, it's so beautiful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love provided the Savior. Savior provided salvation. And faith has brought me close to Him for all of eternity. Do you believe? Father, thank you again for this wonderful time that we've had with the congregation. I pray that you'll bless this message and watch over us in our conclusion. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Randy, if you will, please lead us in song.